Welcome to the Cashflow Legends Podcast with your hosts, Nate, Brandon, and Brock. Remember, our insights are not direct financial advice, so consult with your financial team before making any decisions based on the topics discussed in this show.
Welcome to Cashflow Legends. We are stoked to be here. A quick reminder that anybody that loves listening to what we do, or even if you don't love it, but it's just okay, you know, and you're getting used to two East Texans and a Tennessean, put us a comment in there. Ask us a question. Let us know what you're thinking. If we say something that you're like, I don't agree with that, fine. Shoot a comment. Let us chat about it. We're working on building a frequently asked question list so we can have an episode where we go through, you know, five or so of those and really dive a little deeper into individual questions. And a lot of times when the questions are so good, we turn that into a topic that we're going to discuss, you know, in a future episode. So we were all chuckling before we got started recording that us three have not seen each other in a little bit over a week. And it felt funny because we're so used to the rhythm and enjoying interacting. So Brock, Nate, great to see you this morning. How are y'all?
I am well.
I am also well.
So,
hey, real quick. So when you said something about comments, it reminded me of something I shared on Twitter one time. I tweeted out, I'm not afraid to share my opinions. Nope, that's not what I meant. I share my opinions because I'm not afraid of being right. That's what I said. So anyways.
That's fine. Well,
I know we all are coming off of the past week we were at some training and some growing and some learning opportunities. We'll talk about that probably in future episodes. Nate and I were at the Nelson Nash Think Tank. Brock, you were at one of your dad's events where he, to your words, it said you one of the best events you've been at in years as far as all the things you got from that. So I'm looking forward to us discussing that in future episodes because I think it'll be very valuable. And in my mind, as we're sitting here visiting, Brock, you often say that money follows value. And we have a twisted sense that it's the other way around because the world teaches us to believe that. But I think there's a really good connection into when we're willing to pour into ourselves through mentorship, that a lot of value comes from that. And then money follows that as well. So that'll have to be another topic too. All right. So today, what are we talking about? This is something that's interesting to discuss. It's about estate planning, but I really like the word legacy. And anytime you mention legacy to someone, I typically get three responses, okay? Three kind of categories of people. One, they're not thinking about it at all because they're so busy, so overwhelmed, so consumed with trying to keep up with making a dollar to spend it to make it again. Two, oh, that's something I've thought about, or I have a will. Very rarely a trust, but I have a will. And three, this is something that I've thought about a lot. I put a lot of energy into it, and now I'm just fine tuning it. And that all three of those conversations are a lot of fun. And what we get to do every day is bring to the forefront why estate planning is important. So let's kind of just start with an overarching view. Brock, why do you think estate planning has people falling in those three categories? And then why is it really this important to discuss and understand?
First thing I need to say is I am not an attorney. So anything that I say today, don't hold me to it. Just, you know, take it with a grain of salt. But, you know, I'm glad that we're talking about this because I'm trying to write my newsletter. And what I'm talking about is actually legacy planning. And your question of why do you think people land in these three things and why is it important? Well, what I have come to find out is the first piece is that it's just an uncomfortable conversation for most people. You have to talk about, you know, what's going on. If life takes a bad route, what is going to happen with our kids? What's going to happen with our finances? Do you pull my plug? Do you not pull my plug? A lot of things that are just weirdly uncomfortable to talk about, but need to be talked about. We also find that it's becomes time consuming when you go to meet with an attorney, and if they're billed by the hour, they really love talking about everything else in your life that otherwise they wouldn't really care to ask you about. Other things could be it. With it becoming time consuming, it also becomes expensive. And then, you know, after a while, you just kind of put it to the side and you just think, you know what? I don't actually want to do any of this because of the fact that it's uncomfortable, it's time consuming, and it's confusing, and it takes a lot of money. But the reality is that it is one of the most important aspects of your entire financial life, because you need those documents to take care of your finances if something happens to you. It needs to be there for your healthcare if something happens to you. And then if you don't want your estate to be a public just source of information when you pass, then you're going to want to put these things in place so that things get to where they want to go when you want them to and how you want them to.
That's good. Nate, anything you want to add?
Well, so to that last part, you know, everybody has a will. It's just depends on who actually wrote it. And what I mean by that is you can trust in the government's will for your estate, or you can trust in your instructions for your estate. And so everybody has a will. You just need to figure out who wrote it and, you know, what the instructions are, so to speak. When we stick our head in the sand, which is what we do a lot of times, you know, 90% of our body is still exposed. So we haven't really done ourselves any favors. It's an illusion that when we stick our head in the sand that the problem goes away, but it doesn't. And actually, we actually are really exposing our insecurities when we do that. It's an uncomfortable conversation for a lot of people to think about. What happens when I die? You know, what happens to my family? What happens to my stuff? What happens to my kids? Like all those things. It's uncomfortable. But I think one of the cool things about what we get to do is, I mean, I've actually had people who have thanked me for pressing them into those uncomfortable conversations. I mean, I've had people say, man, thank you so much. Like, this was so valuable for me because this was something that I've been needing to do, and I needed somebody to just push me a little bit. And so sometimes we just need somebody to push us a little bit into those uncomfortable conversations and realize that something Trent says often, we're all going to live until we don't. Something else we heard last weekend, you know, nobody's getting out of here alive. Like, so it's going to happen. And we're either going to be prepared for it or not. And that's an important thing to realize is you are not immune to death. You are not immune to things going wrong or anything like that. So it's best to be prepared. I mean, you wouldn't sign up for the military and say, yeah, I'm ready to go fight on the front lines and just run out there with no armor, no gun, no helmet, no nothing. Like, you're going to prepare. You're probably also going to be doing some running, some lifting, like all those things. So our life is that battle, and we just need to be prepared for it. Like, all the struggles and things that we deal with, it's a battle every day. And so we need to make sure that we've got our armor on, you know, and that we've got our weapons in hand and all that stuff, so that we can protect ourselves and that we can fight the best fight we can.
One of the things that, those are great points, guys. One of the things that we see often when interacting with a potential member is that they just didn't know enough to know what to ask. Okay. And that's normal. Okay. So Leah and I, my wife and I, just went through new trust planning with a company that we use often now called Legacy Lock. And the reason is they're an expert at that, and I trust them. So I went through it with them because I don't like to recommend anything to our members that I haven't at least gone through the process of. And one of the greatest things that came out of that, and I'll use Lee and I as an example, my wife's an RN and a nurse. She has no problem donating any of her body to science for research or benefit or to help others. I'm not at peace with that for me. not her. So for me right now, I'm going to stay whole. I know it's just my body and I'm leaving this earth and I'm going to an eternal place way better. But in my mind, I haven't gotten over that yet. So I brought up that conversation for us to have through the trust planning. And here's the thing. Here's a really good way to frame this. So one of the reasons that I think it's such a misunderstood topic. Now, I want everybody to bear with me for a minute here. If our plans are in the government's hands, if we die, why would there ever be education beyond normal education to encourage you to do something different? Okay. So this is what I mean by that. I spent 15 years in education, teaching kids. Most of the educational stuff that we're told to do comes from the powers that be in the government. And I'm not saying I'm a conspiracy theorist. What I'm saying is that when you see the truth, you can't unsee it. And it is given in a way to keep us bound to the system. Like we talk about all the time, the big three, banks, IRS, and Wall Street. So when we work with members who see the power of a trust, no matter their income levels, almost anyone wants to be sure that their family is going to experience the least amount of stress possible when they leave this earth. Every person we talk with wants to say that. So this is when we demystify the fact that an estate plan is not just for wealthy people. Then people start going, oh, okay. And then they start learning it doesn't have to cost $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 like Brock just alluded to, and hourly lawyer wages. So I know our lawyer on retainer right now makes $375 an hour. Now that's in little bitty Elysian Fields, East Texas. So as you push towards bigger cities, I know it goes way up from there. So Brock, let's talk about if you're meeting with a member and they're asking about key things to understand about the difference between a will and a trust. Walk through that just on a basic 30,000 foot view.
So let's talk about, I'm not going to get into the incontestability of whether the government has a will for you. I'm just going to talk about, hey, basic, if you set up a will or you set up a trust, what does it look like?
Yep.
So when you look at a will, what's happening here, okay, is you are writing out a document that tells what you want done with your stuff when you pass away. This will still go to probate. It'll go to probate court, and then the judge will have to read what's going on through the will and describe what's going on, right? Most of the time, this is where people say, after they read the will, then you're going to pay the attorneys, you're going to pay the court fees, and any other things that you have to pay for, and then your family will collect everything else. Okay? It is public. Anybody can hear anything that's going on if they want to. They just have to show up. And then, you know, that's how a will works. When you have a trust, you will have a will with the trust, okay? What this is happening is your will, and when you have a trust, your will says everything goes to my trust. And then that bypasses probate, okay? And this trust will have really three parties: the grantor, the trustee, and then the beneficiary. Okay. The grantor is who sets it up, puts things in it, handles, you know, the thought process of what's going on. Then the trustee is, this is the person who handles the execution of everything that's going to happen. Okay. And the beneficiary is the person who receives it all. When you have a trust, okay, this helps you bypass probate. So all things are private for you. You don't have to wait in the courtroom for forever or the court system for forever. The will just says everything goes into the trust, and then the trust tells how it gets distributed, who it gets distributed to, when it gets distributed, and the amount.
That's good. The other day I was meeting with a member of ours who just went through this. His wife's brother, I believe his brother-in-law, had passed away. And he said something, I hope I get it close to right. He basically said, there's a piece to probate that you don't really understand. So probate, it just goes to the public system. He said, you don't get to decide how fast they move. Mm-hmm. You have no say in how fast it moves. And what his point was there is you're grieving you're trying to figure out all these other things in the dynamic of the family. Now, it was his brother-in-law, so obviously he was younger, okay, in the grand scheme of things. And he said, and we're waiting on the public system to tell us when we get to do what we need to do. Now, I don't know if anybody has ever gone into a public system to get anything done, like the DMV or tax stuff for land or anywhere else, although there are lovely people there. Very rarely does it move as quick as you would like it to, if ever. So that's a great point, Brock. Just very simply, we're just bypassing all of the rules of the public system to have clear what happens next. So here's another piece I like about this. And Nate, I know you have experience with some of this in some ways because of your dad's passing. So there's a big piece here that really is important for family dynamics. Now, we believe that whole life insurance is the most powerful financial product we can have as far as the heart of our financial life. But there's a piece there that you cannot really put into rate of return terms in regard to peace of mind when it comes to navigating family dynamics ahead of time. So one of the greatest things that I think we can do, Nate, and I want you to touch on this, is for our family to know what's going to occur financially long before we ever leave this earth. And now it makes it a lot easier to grieve. Nate, you want to touch on that a little bit?
Yeah, man, there's a lot I could say about that. You know, the economic value of certainty for someone, knowing that there's a predictable outcome at a minimum, allows us and really gives us permission to make very practical decisions for ourselves. Mm-hmm. The thing that I really love about what I'm doing personally with my whole life insurance strategy is, as a loving parent, you know, one of our desires is, hey, we want to leave something to our kids. You know, we don't want to be trust fund babies or anything like that, but we want to leave something to our kids. Well, I can automatically solve for the legacy piece through my whole life insurance strategy. And now I just get to go have fun and live within the bounds of what I'm building and creating for myself right now, knowing that one day it's all going to be, you know, passed on to the next generation. I've shared the story before with people. One time I was having just a really cool moment at the beach with my family, my kids, and I was just kind of washing the waves and everything like that. And it triggered like the flow of money in my mind. And I thought, you know, this trip and everything like that, if I do everything the right way, then the money that's flowing through my life today is one day going to be their inheritance. And with most people who are not planned properly, the only thing that they're going to leave is, you know, what's sitting in their bank account or maybe what assets they have. But then what also comes with that is an unusual tax burden for a lot of people, an uncomfortable tax burden for a lot of people. And so, you know, making the right plans can be really important. But my dad had a life insurance policy, so we were very grateful for that. He also had a will, and part of his will was the distribution of ownership of his company to me and my brother. That did not happen automatically, but we were immediately tasked with the role of stepping in as ownership, even though legally that had not taken place yet. And I don't remember all the things we had to go through, but I remember a few like hoops we had to jump through, working with different vendors and things like that, trying to prove to them that we were the new owners of the company, because they didn't, you know, they needed some documentation, not just, hey, my dad passed away and he left me the company. And probate, like you said, you don't get to decide how quick probate happens. And, you know, and all of those things are public. Now, for people who enjoy the privacy of their life, which I think probably a large majority of people we work with are private people in certain aspects. I think that's one of the reasons they like the idea of infinite banking, is because another term for the infinite banking concept is like privatized banking. So it's doing things that are fully legal, but it's not shared with the open public, you know, the way everything else is shared. And the things we get to do with borrowing from our policies and things like that, those are non-credit scored loans. You know, we're not reporting to credit agencies and things like that. Your whole life insurance policies technically are not reported to your CPA. My CPA doesn't know how many life insurance policies I own because that's not information that I have to report. So there's a lot of aspects of just wanting to maintain some privacy in your life that can be satisfied with the right type of strategies and philosophy.
Brock, in your interactions with, you know, different members and estate planning levels, okay, once again, we're not tax advisors or strategists, okay? Very important here. This is just what we've seen. What have you seen as far as the tax code goes and trust planning and just the benefit that it can offer someone with estate planning once they know the rules of the game in general, not a specific strategy? But what do you notice consistently?
What I noticed consistently is how complex it can get very quickly. And there's so many different tax strategies that are going on within the trust world. Okay. You could eliminate capital gains tax through using things like charitable remainder trust, where instead of maybe selling a property, you give it to the charitable remainder trust and they end up selling it to a charity. Well, there's some tax strategy around that. There are other trusts out there which sound crazy, which were crazier before, but you can escape estate taxes for 365 years, right? I think it used to be for forever, but now they crunched it down. That was too long, so they wanted to make sure it was not too long. It was just 365 years.
That's it.
Yeah. But the biggest piece right now, which is a major something that I thought about earlier in our conversation, was you can ignore the warning signs, but you can't ignore the consequences. And right now we are in a interesting period because our estate tax exclusion is very high. So per a married couple, the estate tax exclusion is a little over $24 million. Per one person, it's a little over $12 million. And it will be this way until December 31st of 2025. Once that happens, it will be cut almost in half. And if the current admin has anything to do with it, it'll be cut even more than that. And what that means is the things that are in your estate over, whether it's $24 million, $12 million, $7 million, right? Whatever it drops to after 2025 will be taxed almost as much as 40% or more of what's left in your estate. And so on the tax side of things, when it comes to your estate, this is one of those areas right now where it's super important that you get to work, especially if your estate is over $12 million, $24 million, that you start removing those things from your estate for tax benefits and asset protection wise.
So you guys have both brought up some really good points about planning, mindset. We live until we don't. So one question that gets asked often is by members of ours, and I'm sure Brock's too, is, well, who do you use and why? And I go to this question or this response often. I go, anybody that Nate and I introduce you to is somebody that we've interacted with personally, that we've known, but I want you to meet them and get to the point of whether you feel comfortable with them or not, because everybody's not a fit for everybody. And that keeps the burden of us telling you to do something off of us, which I don't think that should ever be our role. Brock, you've alluded to many times, and Nate and I were talking about this before we recorded, about we're not experts in everything. We're experts in whole life insurance and how it works. We pride ourselves on understanding that. Do we do other things? Yes, but this is what we're experts in. So when it comes to trust and estate planning, I'm going to introduce you to somebody who's an expert in that, who puts all their energy and effort and resources and mindset into that. I'm going to introduce you to them. That's what Nate and Brock are going to do, because we want you to work with people, because you cannot be an expert at everything. Okay. It's impossible. So when it comes to that, one of the things I really have found that's really beneficial for families, and Brock, your dad's alluded to this often, the number of times he's seen people named in a trust and the people named don't know they're named. Okay. So one of the big parts of this is this transparency of, I'm planning to live forever. You know, I want to live forever, but I'm also making plans that I may die tomorrow. And how do we work from that? And like Nate said earlier, one, we have to recognize we got to pull our head out of the sand. And we got to just be very self-aware that if I don't have a plan, the government has one for me. And which one do you want to follow? And notice we have said nothing yet at all about how much money somebody makes at all. It's more about what kind of legacy do we want to leave for our kids? And this challenges me in thinking through this right now. There's more planning that I can do, as if I'm going to die tomorrow. There's more things that I need to do sooner than later. So it opens up these healthy conversations, or maybe they are uncomfortable, but you get to the point of being healthy. And so professional guidance is very important. And the other piece is, do any one of you guys have a real life example or story that comes to your mind of any member that you've worked with at any level that you've seen estate planning play a role, or maybe a story we've heard from other members of our community?
I've seen it all over the place, and I've been fortunate enough to be in some pretty cool estate planning scenarios. But one of my favorite that I get to talk about a lot is, I don't remember who I heard this from, but it was a case that they worked on. So I didn't work on this personally, but this gentleman was the head of his family, older generation. And so what he had done was, for the next, like, I don't know, however many generations it would last, every time on a holiday or a birthday, he would have a card sent to a person of their family with like $5 in it, just to let them, with a note that just is telling them, hey, I want you to know that you came from something and that you're loved. And I mean, if that was me, man, I would look forward to it every year, to know of it. And even if it was just $5, I mean, that would be awesome.
That's really cool. Nate, you have anything you want to add to that?
You know, we had this conversation last week. We've been fortunate up until this point in our business that we have not had to deliver a death benefit check directly to a family. If we stay in this long enough, it's going to happen, and we know that's going to happen. So we haven't had to experience anything on that level yet, but we have come across a few people who had some inheritance from, you know, different relatives and things like that. And quite often the conversation was the frustration of the taxes and everything that they were having to deal with from that perspective. And so one of the things that Nelson Nash said about whole life insurance is it can act as a tax-free trust if you treat it the right way. And none of us ever want to be a burden to someone else. Like, none of us who are in our right mind want to be a burden to somebody else. There's some wackos out there. But anyways, those of us in our right mind, we don't want to be a burden to someone else, especially our kids, our family, and stuff like that. And so if we can eliminate some pain points in our life with the right type of strategies and everything like that, and simultaneously eliminate pain points for our family, you know, that's a beautiful concept. That's a beautiful idea that we get to be a part of.
So I'll finish with this story. I was having this conversation with somebody recently about trust planning, and they were really trying to wrap their mind around trust planning. And I said, look, I've just gone through this process, and so I can tell you what I experienced. And what it did for Lee and I and our life with four kids is it helped me be very aware of what I want to do now in my thinking, but also that I can adjust it and evaluate it as we go, as our kids age, as they get more clarity on what they want to become. So Brock, I think your dad has used this story before, but I really like it. Let's say one of our four kids really is called to ministry, and maybe it's ministry stateside or overseas. Well, we know in ministry, typically you're not going to make, I mean, it's barely enough. It's above poverty, but it's not much typically, especially if you're serving as a missionary or something like that. We could have our trust set up to where it says, you know, something along the lines of if our kids are serving in these types of capacity, we are able to do whatever's needed to allow them to feel like they can continue doing it without the stress of having to create enough income to allow them to keep doing it. So we could be matching their income or, you know, something like that, which is very important in the sense that money is just a resource or a tool that allows us to do what we are called to do, hopefully. And trust planning just allows that to be perpetuated to the heritage that we're hopefully building under the mindset we're going to live a long time. Nate, you were going to say something.
Yeah, so this came up last week, and it was a thought, and I never heard it put this way. Strange that I had not, but I had never heard it put this way. And what a gentleman said, one of our colleagues said, was essentially with properly whole life insurance set up in place, what we have the ability to do is perpetuate our income onto our kids. So our kids can go out and make their income, and then they can also receive the income that we were making when we were working, which is a really, like, it's a really powerful concept when you think about that, because the inflation is not going away anytime soon. If things keep going the way they're going, the value of the dollar becomes less and less and whatever. So if you think about it from that perspective, being able to bring another layer of income to stack on top of their income for the future, that doesn't come with a tax burden, I think is also a pretty cool concept.
For sure. All right. So estate planning is not the big bad wolf. It's not something to be scared of. It's actually something to lean into. You want to work with somebody that can recommend you to somebody in that world that really takes a lot of pride and is an expert in that. And if you ever want to understand what we know about it, go through our process and we can introduce you to who we utilize the most for it. And you can get a good feel of if it's a fit for you. And if it's not, there are other options out there. So it's not an end all be all. But the big thing is we either are going to let the plans that are already made for how our death is passed on to our future generations and what occurs there, or we're going to be in charge of those plans. And that's really the simple way to think about estate planning. So hit those likes, subscribes, please leave a comment. It really helps us stay in the algorithm, powers that be, and whoever made those, and it keeps us, you know, churning along so we can get in front of more people. And, you know, if you have some topics you want to hear us discuss, let us know. You have experiences with whole life that were good, bad, or indifferent, let us know. If you have a resounding question related to whole life or what you thought, put that in the comments so we can discuss it later. But, until we see you on the next episode, we want to remind you that our ultimate goal here is to be transparent, good stewards of the information, and truthfully to help you keep more of your money so you can earn more with what you keep. Have a great day.